معشر الناس. Brothers and sisters, Muslims today suffer from a serious misunderstanding of who they are, of what their responsibilities are, what is their priority and what is not. A particular emphasis on certain things that should not be emphasized, and neglect of certain things that are central and focal to their lives and to Allah's word to them. We encounter Muslims who would find it extremely important to render unto Allah what we call in Islamic terminology an-nawafil, or voluntary rituals, when at the same time all the Muslims are guilty of being unable to render to Allah what He has made mandatory. To go back a little into the fiqhi language, there is something that is known as fard ayn. A personal wajib. And there is something else that is known as fard kifaya, or what may be rendered as a social wajib. A personal wajib is like a salah that you and I and the rest of the Muslims perform on a consistent and daily basis. A fard على الكفاية is defined as a mandatory act that when performed by some Muslims relieves the rest of the Muslims of that responsibility. And in the diminishing mind, public mind of the Muslims, the prime example is given of Salat al-Janaza, a funeral prayer. If some Muslims perform it, it's as if all Muslims have performed it. Or, in other words, when some Muslims do it, the responsibility of others doing it is annulled. But this understanding that current day Muslims have is a damaged understanding of reality. This is not how we should understand our responsibilities. Fard al-kifaya means that we should be able to do in a reciprocal way acts and assignments that will make us self-sufficient and not reliable on others. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ كَاتِبُونَ. And he who does what is right in the course of his worldly duties, there shall be no denial of his efforts. And we, Allah says, and we indeed register for him or for them the credit of what they do. Once again, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ كَاتِبُونَ. How many types of specialties and works, jobs and job descriptions are we responsible for? Life invites us to a variety of duties, of tasks, without which we cannot live. But what type of Muslims do we have? We have Muslim engineers, Muslim chemists, Muslim physicians, Muslim professionals of an assortment of skills. And what do? They still cannot put together an independent Islamic will or Islamic self-sufficiency. They can't do it. And when you get to know these individuals who may have PhDs, postgraduate work, etc., you meet them and they will present to you a trivial mindset. They will begin to argue whether, this is an example, there are many examples, they will argue whether it is permissible to pray 2 nafil rak'ahs while an imam is presenting his Friday khutbah. If you had, let's say, a pharmacist and an engineer who are arguing a fiqhi, a fine fiqhi matter that is peculiar only to the inner and developed circles of Islamic scholars, you begin to feel that Muslims are in disarray because they are not capable of pursuing to the degree of self-sufficiency the knowledge and the skill that they are supposed to command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. We have made available iron or the formulas of material power. Al-Hadid could be literally steel, or it could be the honing of the human intellect to gain power position by which there is combat and from which there are benefits to the human crowd. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ لِلنَّاسِ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلْيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. So that Allah will come to know who will support him along with his prophet through this distance of ghayb. Isn't it a waste of time? And isn't it a damage to the Muslim character to have Muslims incapable of pursuing their skills and what knowledge they have obtained to the degree of self-sufficiency? Let me put this probably in a way that is more understandable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I and the rest of the committed Muslims an immense responsibility, not only to govern our individual selves, but to govern the world. Our responsibility is to see to it that this governance belongs to Allah. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. This is an immense responsibility. And in exchange for that, He wasn't expecting us only to verbally glorify Him. It's nonsense only to verbally glorify Allah. This you can better understand if we approximated this responsibility to our mundane lives. Let us say there is a king or a ruler who gives the responsibility of governance to some of the citizens of the state. And instead of shouldering those specific responsibilities in the field, These individuals come to the ruler's or to the king's palace and they glorify the king. The king or the ruler has no need for individuals who come to his palace and glorify him. But what happens? Are they not doing their duties? Are they not doing their jobs? And the same thing with the magnitude of difference, the same thing is applicable to us. When Allah has given us these duties and responsibility, and we wind up coming to the house of Allah, verbally glorifying Him, at the same time we are abdicating our responsibilities. We are not doing our job, as it were. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ كَاتِبُونَ. Remember this ayah. And he who does what is his responsible duty with virtue, with righteousness, while being committed to Allah, there shall be no denial of his efforts. It is an ache and a pain to be exposed day in and day out to some Muslims who think it is a virtue to enter into the fine points of fiqh when they spent years and years of their life gaining a profession and a skill that Allah will hold them accountable for. You see some nominal Muslims who are lax in their duties and their job, but when time of Salah arrives, they snap into order and they want to perform their Salah in a perfect sense. But all the time, all the hours before that Salah and all the hours after that Salah, which they are qualified to do, they don't pay attention to it. And this becomes very obvious when there are certain parts of the Muslim Ummah who need other parts of the Muslim Ummah. Look at Iraq as an example. A population, 20 odd million people are dying. And Muslims, over 1 1/3 of a billion Muslims in the world, cannot put together their medical knowledge, their medical expertise, their medical technology, and save their own. They have no value. Their medical knowledge, all the physicians among the Muslims, out of 1.3 billion Muslims, how many physicians do we have? Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of highly qualified physicians, medical doctors. What can they do when millions of their own are dying in front of their own eyes? And they are more interested in performing a salah, namaz, on time, and raising their hand in a dua to Allah, and shedding crocodile tears in front of Allah, when all of the years of their profession, they cannot save a single soul of their own. This is the contradictory, the conflicting position that Muslims are in. Allah has given you a trust. You spent many years of your life becoming a doctor or becoming an engineer or any other type of physical scientist. And when it comes for you to use your skills, you are unable and incapable of doing so. And in the sight of Allah, you become worthless. ما كانت صلاتهم إلا مكاء وتصديا. Their type of salah was nothing but reverberations, sounds, and echoes. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِعَهْدِهِمْ Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِعَهْدِهِمْ وَأَمَانَاتِهِمْ رَاعُونَ And those who honor their trust and who honor their commitments. Where do we have the type of Muslims nowadays who can honor these commitments and this trust? You tell a person to go to college and the university for 4, 8, and 12 years, and they graduate with honors, and they are plugged into a non-Islamic establishment, and when it comes to the faith of their own Muslim brethren, they are unable to do one thing to support them or to rescue their lives. Is this the type of Islam? Is this the type of responsibility that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent his life communicating, explaining? Obviously not. The petroleum industry has scores of specializations. Many professions and degrees are related to the petroleum industry. And we, the Muslims in this world, are the proprietors of petroleum. And in all the Muslim population, 1.3 billion people, we don't have what it takes to put together a petroleum industry. Can you believe this, brothers and sisters? After almost a century of the discovery of petroleum in our own land, we're talking about 4 and 5 generations now. We have the petroleum, but we don't have the petroleum industry. Where? Are you listening to Allah? والذين هم لعهدهم وأماناتهم راعون. Allah praises those who honor their commitments and their trust. If Allah has given us the trust of having this resource in our land, in our backyards, in our ummah, and we don't even know how to draw it out of the ground, we don't have the heavy industry that builds the lighter industry to extract our petroleum from our own territories. Where's this Muslim skill? Where are these Muslims who have all of these degrees? They can't do it. Governments have to contract Total, British Petroleum, Amoco, Shell, and the rest of these industries to draw our own petroleum and then refine it. We can't even market our own petroleum. Why? Because to begin with, we have a contorted, a lopsided understanding of Islam. We don't have it right in our heads, in our minds, and in our hearts. These graduates who are incapable, all of them together, of putting together one industry. Imagine if the kafir doesn't want to supply us with medicine, or the kafir doesn't want to supply us with food. We may die of disease and we may die of hunger when all around us our lands are fertile and our minds are fertile. But we can't get this one issue together. Why? If we have fertility in nature and we have fertility in ourselves, we end up at the begging side of life. Why? Has anyone ever asked themselves? And still, we have people that don't read the Quran. Or if they are reading Allah's words, they don't understand what He is saying. They still think it is a virtue to wake up early in the morning and pray Fajr Salah, or even more than that, to stay up during the night and pray the Nafila Salah, and to shed some tears, and then pray the other Salahs of the day. In the meantime, their effort, their work, their schedule, their program, all of it serves the zalim, the kafir, and the mushrik. None of it serves the Muslim, the mu'min, or the mustafa. None of it. And then they come out to society and they are supposed to be polished Muslims. Who said staying up during the night or praying mechanically on time is virtue? It is not. When your whole purpose of living is sacrificed to kafir establishments and systems, as is the current condition among contemporary Muslims. Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ عَلِمَ أَن سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يجاهدون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه. Okay, Allah knows the proportion of night and day, and He knows among us there shall be incapable, physically incapable people, persons, individuals who are ailed, others who are exerting themselves, making a living. And there are others who are on military missions. These are exempt from staying up during the night. They don't have to. Ibn Mas'ud, who is known for all the efforts that he placed in the rendition of the Quran or the Mus'haf that we know today, he used to say, I prefer iftar to sawm. I prefer to break my fast, not in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, the voluntary fast. He used to say, I prefer iftar to fasting because it helps me in my effort with the Quran. Compiling the Quran, reciting the Quran, communicating the Quran, distributing the Quran. No one came up to him and said, oh, you don't understand what Islam is. He understood the Quran, which he spent his life working on. But we have our current Muslims today who understand the Quran better than the Prophet. They understand the Quran better than the first generation of the Prophet and the first generations of Islam. They understand the Quran better than the scholars. And then, with this type of understanding, we have a world that is incapable of diagnosing this problem and saying we Muslims are not able to obey Allah. This is ibadah. When you do your work, whatever your work is, to gain a living for your family and to serve other people on the outside, that is more important than praying. But we have today's Muslims who make this salah, who perform it at the expense of their conformity to Allah in what they do in life. That is why we are incapable of independence, we are incapable of self-sufficiency, and we are incapable of helping ourselves even when we want to. No one doubts that many Muslims out here feel shattered to see what is happening to other Muslims in the world. We gave an example of the Muslims in Iraq. You can give an example of the Muslims in Africa. Wars have erupted there like at no time before. Who cares? Do you see Muslims responding to that? Is anyone mentioning this issue from the minbars, the khutbahs? No. What they want you to do is shed crocodile tears and to dislocate your priorities and yourself in your relationship with Allah. Allah will throw their salah into their faces on the day of accountability. When their salah did not stimulate them to do something about the larger affairs of life. Is their salah barring them from the grand munkar and fahsha that is all around? Not at all. In a sense, some of them have tamed their salah to justify for us this grand fahsha and munkar that is all around. It's not virtue to turn your face to the mashriq or to the maghrib. It's not virtue becoming a mechanical Muslim the way most of these individuals are. Mechanical Muslims. Have you ever heard of a Muslim machine? This is what they are. Muslim machines. The higher purpose of living is lost as they have become a routine part of this establishment and this system that is at war with Allah and those who belong to Allah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرَّائِدَ لَا يَتْبُهُ أَهْلَهُ وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَإِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَّةً. ما موتكم إلا كنومكم ولا بعثكم إلا كنشوركم. وإنكم not for your mechanics, not for your tradition, but for the real effort of sweat and blood and tears in life. وَإِنَّهَا لَلْجَنَّةُ أَبَدًا أَوِ النَّارُ أَبَدًا. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. ادعوه سبحانه وأنتم موقنون بالإجابة وتوبوا إلى الله إن الله هو التواب الرحيم. الحمد لله ربنا. الحمد لله. كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وغفل عن ذكره الغافلون. الحمد لله القائل في كتابه العزيز وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين واخفض جناحك لمن اتبعك من المؤمنين. فإن عصوك فقل إني بريء مما تعملون. وهو يراك حين تقوم وتقلبك في الساجدين. الحمد لله. We thank Allah for extending to us His words of wisdom. His words of redemption and guidance. And we acknowledge through these ayat of His that what happens around us is not happening by happenstance. It is not a freak occurrence that we have social and natural forces that are at work, all of which are in the command of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Some people see if there's a flood here or there is a drought there, they see these as random acts of nature. We see these as calculated acts of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We know that there are certain quarters in this world that have targeted Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. More to the point, they targeted those who are for Allah and with Allah and from Allah and to Allah in this life and in this world. And we know that they cannot defeat Allah. We know that He will not let them escape. They said in this last year, 2,400 alarms went off at U.S. diplomatic missions around the world. That's close to 7 or 8 alarms every day. Imagine, every day around the world, 7 or 8 threats are scored or registered around the world where the representation of this shaitan is established. And they want to sink in tens of billions of dollars to protect themselves. What does this say? Does this say Muslims are on their way out of life? Yes, we may be critical of ourselves, but this criticism is a building block that goes to strengthen and enhance our performance in this life before we return to Allah. You have atmospheric conditions in this country and beyond this country that are eye-catching, but you probably have no one who is trying to draw a line between these atmospheric developments and the social and political developments of man. And they want the minbar, they want the masjid, they want the Muslims to be empty of this correlation. Far from it. We are increasing our knowledge of this correlation. And we are becoming to realize day after day incident after incident, dilemma after dilemma, catastrophe after catastrophe, which side Allah is on and which side is opposed to Allah. The indications and the signs are clear. You only have to open your eyes. What type of society are we living in? That people, when they feel upset at work, immediately think of committing crime, killing other people, quick draws. It's happening. It's something they don't want to talk about. It's something they should be talking about. It's something we all should be thinking about. Sexual perversion. Homosexuality is promoted all around. But recently, a religious individual in the armed forces, a Catholic, refused to stay underground with a female co-worker, another military person, for 24 hours because that violates his religious principles and beliefs. And now the military wants to reassign him. You know, you go underground for 24 hours, there's a small room, and there's only two individuals that they placed in that room for 24 hours, a man and a woman. Now, is this coincidental? You place a man and a woman to work together, away from everyone else, for 24-hour shifts, where there's a bed that is provided, and the other amenities. And a person in all of this has a live conscience and says, I can't take this. It violates my religious beliefs and conviction. And now he's taken to court. You see, there, aggression is against morality. And morality is part of Islam. And because this individual's Christian belief has a central component of morality in it, they are against this representation of morality. But if there were two homosexual individuals down there, then they would not be opposed to it. They are not opposed to the act of sex itself. They are opposed to how that act is performed. If it is done morally, it is done bil ma'ruf, it's against their law. If it is done with fahsha and munkar, it is sanctioned by their law. And their law now is at odds with Allah's law. And the law of Allah shall survive. And their man-made laws of deviation and perversion shall be vanquished, shall be defeated. If we haven't learned anything from Allah's presentation of man's experience throughout the times, we have learned that. And we are grateful for that among the many other things we are grateful for.